Andrew Stoughton from BlueJaysNation.com joins us. Had a few days off of writing, although I noticed he didn't take any days off. He was all fired up. Andrew joins us now. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm a little calmer now, but yeah, I was a little fired up over the last.
I read all your articles, and I love all the extra Blue Jays coverage that you guys provide. And the thing that inside joke I laughed the most was you're saying, I can't believe the audacity of Boston people to think every player wants to sign there. And I'm like, yeah, now you know how hockey fans feel outside of Toronto, because every year Toronto Maple Leaf fans and every media guy's like, oh, is he an Ontario born kid? Well, he's gonna love to come to Toronto. and it never happens. But we talked about Ortiz's comments yesterday, and I was like, to me that's tampering, and it looks like Major League Baseball is gonna look into it. Not that anything will happen, like, who really cares? Like, so he gets a piddly fine, it doesn't do anything. But do you think, like, if you're Edwin Encarnacion and you're 33 years of age and you are one of the best DHs in the league, do you think he tests free agency just because, you know, there might be a team willing him to pay more than he thinks he's even worth?
Oh, yeah, I think he absolutely tests free agency. Let me get something out of the way first, though. I may be in Toronto, but I'm not a Leafs fan, and I find that as insufferable as you guys do. But
okay, perfect.
That everybody thinks that the Leafs are going to sign any Ontario boy. But, yeah, I think Edwin will definitely test free agency. Definitely is a bit strong. I hope that he doesn't. You know, I think he's a guy that – you know, we've seen in his hot streak here that he seems to have every year, just what an incredible hitter he is and what an important part of the middle of this lineup he is. He may get more money than Jose Bautista at this point, which is probably the kind of thing that's going to drive him towards the open market, right? I mean, Bautista was the one who has really made the outlandish demand, but he's older. He's looked a bit older this year, and he's been hurt, and he hasn't had the same kind of season. And Edwin has just had another Edwin season. You know, I think he's just 33 right now. Or will be at the start of next year. And so, yeah, there could be a lot of money for him out there, especially because there just isn't a lot of power hitters and there isn't a lot on the free agent market this year. And as for the tampering stuff, I think you're right. You know, it doesn't really matter. I guess maybe technically it's tampering, or it could be tampering, and you don't want to have a precedent like that. But Ortiz saying that, hey, who better than Encarnacion as a free agent to replace me at DH in Boston? I mean, that's something that it's not like Edwin didn't know that already. It's obvious that there's going to be a big hole there, and that Edwin and Bautista, I suppose, are two guys that really make a lot of sense for Boston.
Speaking of Bautista and Encarnacion, I know he's a few years older, of course, so that plays into the factor a lot. And, you know, everyone's saying he's looked older this year because of the injury. Before the injury, who do you think was the better player prior to the injury?
I mean, it took Edwin a little while to warm up in the season, which is sort of a traditional thing for him. But I think I have to say Edwin had a better first half than Bautista. I think that's kind of obvious. And the thing about Bautista is he still has the tremendous eye. You know, he's always going to take his walks. He's a terrific player. He does do, you know, as much as he's got this injury, it's kind of a freak injury. It's not the kind of recurring stuff that you see with Edwin, who always sort of has problems with his hamstrings and with his back. Bautista doesn't really have that stuff, and he takes great, you know, care of himself and is really into conditioning and nutrition and stuff like that, which you don't really get the sense that Edwin is. So it's an interesting debate as to who is a better guy going forward and a better guy to be targeting to put your money into. Because, yeah, I mean, I do think that Bautista looked a little bit old this year, but that is an easy thing to say. And he's a guy who has a tremendous track record of you know, being an elite hitter. And I don't think that that's going to suddenly disappear by any means.
So I don't think either one has a ton of trade value because they're both pending free agents, and the only teams you trade them for are teams that you'd likely be competing against for the race to make the playoffs. So it wouldn't make much sense. So let's look at the Jays adding something outside of the obvious relief pitcher, and everybody can always use another starter. Do you think, like, is there an area position-wise you think they need to improve on? And what does the Colabello, even though I know he's not eligible for playoffs, what does his return mean to the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, I think it means a lot to the Buffalo lineup, because I think that's where he's going to end up for a bit before he's going to have to hit his way back onto the team, because I believe that they were considering demoting him even before the suspension stuff came out, because he just struggled so badly with big league pitching at the start of this year, for obvious reasons. And so, I mean, I'm not counting on him to you know, be a savior for the team. Justin Smoke had a really good month in May, but has kind of gone back to being the Justin Smoke we expected, which I think opens up a spot for them to maybe add another bat, which is why you hear rumors about Jay Bruce being a guy they still might be interested in, lefty who with great power, though maybe not the on-base percentage kind of guy that you'd like to see. You know, he's not an elite hitter, but he's still a powerful enough guy to be, you know, to hit, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh in this lineup. Though, you know, Ezequiel Carrera has done a great job. I pronounced him like Buck Martinez did right there. And he's done a great job this year. And there was a great piece at Fangraphs today looking at how his exit velocity has improved. You know, he's hitting the ball harder, and he's been a lot more disciplined. He's laying off breaking balls a lot better than he ever has in his career. So the inference from that is that he is actually a better hitter. It's not a fluke. He's you know, made tangible improvements, and maybe he's a guy who deserves more of a look in the second half if Bautista comes back and needs to DH and put Edwin at first. Maybe it's okay to have Ezequiel Carrera out there.
Andrew Stoughton from BlueJaysNation.com joins us. Andrew, are there any relievers or starters that you think would make the most sense to acquire for the Jays?
The relievers, I don't think there's a lot of, like, the sexy relievers aren't going to be ones that I think that are going to be able to, the Jays are going to be able to pry away from anybody. I know a lot of people are looking at the Yankees, and Andrew Miller's name always, basically since the day he signed that contract, has been involved in trade rumors, which is odd because he's so terrific. And Aroldis Chapman, you know, I think those would be great guys for any team to have. But the issue, I think, for the Jays, of course, is the prospects, and they are bereft of them. And not only does that mean they don't have that many to trade, but it means that they, I think, want to clutch them a little bit more. But the only thing that I would maybe say to that could change, you know, that could defy our expectations, is the fact that they're not prospects that were drafted by Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins. So sometimes, you know, you look at San Diego Padres, A.J. Preller came in there, and really clean house with a lot of prospects that a lot of people liked, but they weren't his guys, and he didn't value them, I think, the way he thought that some of the rest of the industry valued them, and ended up trading them away. And maybe that's something that we'll see with the Blue Jays. We haven't really had an opportunity yet for them to show what they think of a lot of these prospects. So maybe there is a chance that they do something bigger, but for me, I think it's probably going to be small moves. I look back at the Jason Grilli move that they made, which was, you know, cash or a player to be named later, and got a guy, you know, who's been quite nice for the bullpen, a good guy who raises the bullpen floor rather than the ceiling, I think. And that's more the guys that I think they're going to be looking towards, and the same idea in the rotation, I think, depending especially on what they do with Aaron Sanchez.
What do you think they'll do with Sanchez?
You know, it's weird. It's a tough question. I think they probably wish that they never said anything about it, though I think the questions would probably still be there anyway, just because he doesn't have the experience. I'm about to post something where I say this, so I guess I should say what I'm about to write, which is that I don't base this on anything, but my sense right now is that I think they might get squeamish about, you know, delivering that kind of blow to the rotation by moving him out of there. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be hard for them to actually do it. He's just been so good. And, you know, he's not anymore, you know, a skinny, lanky kid who you worry about the arm on, because he put on all that weight in the offseason, which really seems to have been important in terms of his ability to command the baseball. But it speaks well to the possibility that he can be durable as well. And, you know, everything looks good. He's deep into the season. He's pitched a ton of innings already. You know, he's one of the American League leaders in innings pitched, and he still looks fine. And I think it will be very hard for them to move him. But I think if you talk to, you know, if you talk to John Gibbons, if you talk to a lot of the media guys in Toronto here, they think that they're going to do it. But that would be a tough thing for them to do. And my guess, maybe I'm just trying to sound smart, if this is what actually ends up happening, is that they can't pull the trigger and they keep going with them.
Well, I understand why. It's not like if they had somebody else, and I know that you got Drew Hutchinson, I guess, but I could see why you'd be leery of going to him. You know, to me, unless you start to see signs that Sanchez is breaking down, like, not every pitcher is going to break down. I know they just think it because of innings, but they don't all break down, right? There's lots of guys that have pitched a lot of innings, like, you know, and it's not always been a perfect natural progression.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's things that you just can't control. You know, you look at Matt Harvey, who was the subject of this kind of talk last year about getting him shut down, and he's on the DL again this year. You know, sometimes you can't baby them and keep injuries from happening. Their pitchers, they're doing something that's just so extraordinarily unnatural with their bodies that they're going to break down. And, yeah, I think for me, Sanchez he's been so good. He's looked so durable. And this isn't, you know, when the Verducci effect thing, which is, you know, you're not supposed to go X percent higher than the largest number of innings a pitcher has ever pitched in the season. When that sort of came out, we didn't have things like the sophisticated pitch effect stuff that we have now, and the ways of thinking about and looking and measuring a pitcher's performance. You know, if you start to see a dip in a release point, if you start to see he's not spinning the ball as well, those are things that, you know, the advanced metrics and the advanced systems that that they have in place now can look at, and gives you an edge over just sort of blindly saying, well, we shouldn't go beyond 25% more innings than he's ever thrown before. So I think they can monitor it. I hope they are monitoring it. I think they are. I think it's a big thing that the front office is into. And so hopefully that means that they're going to keep him in the rotation until they start to see those signs. And if they do, you know, and his season was probably going to be in trouble anyway if he starts to fatigue somewhere. So at that point, you know, I guess I get moving into the bullpen, but hopefully he doesn't get to that point.
Andrew Stelton from BlueJaysNation.com joined us. His concern is very different than Estrada's, who, from what I understand, he kind of tweaked his back in the offseason. It's kind of been a lingering issue all season long. What more do you know on that? And is that maybe more of the concern of the two starting pitchers?
Yeah, for me, that's not as big a concern. I know there was that John Morosi of Fox Sports was talking about this the other day, and sort of sounding alarm bells about Marco Estrada getting cortisone shots in his back. But we don't know how many cortisone shots he'd taken before that, which is certainly possible that he has. Because, like you say, it was in the off season. I think it was kind of a joke that we heard about he was trying some sort of Bruce Lee martial arts move and tweaked his back, and that was kind of a funny thing at the start of spring training. But his back injury hasn't gone away, and people forget he started the year on the DL because of the same issue, and then he's come out and he's been fantastic, and it's been bothering him all along, and it hasn't hurt his performance in the slightest. You know, he's been one of the best pitchers in the American League. So I'm hopeful that even though this has sort of become an issue and become something that's more visible, that he just keeps on going like he's been going, because I think it's been there the whole time. And I think if you look at the timing, you know, it's not a coincidence that he happened to hit the disabled list at the time of the All-Star break, when, you know, they have 4 days off and they also have an opportunity to reshuffle their rotation. So he barely misses a turn in the rotation. You know, he misses about as little time as possible in terms of having a guy on the DL in the middle of the season. And I think that's by design rather than just a random coincidence.
Andrew, you've watched the Jays closely. You've seen everyone in the American League. You look at injuries, of course. When there's this many games left, injuries can change a lot of things. What's the timeline on Batista's return? And B, having seen a half a season, where do you think the Jays end up?
On Batista, the last I've still heard is that they're hopeful he's going to be ready for the end of the month, which is unfortunate. That's not a great, you know, best case scenario. And it's terrific that they've played so well without him. But obviously that's a bat that they're going to need. They're going to need down the stretch. You know, Edwin Encarnacion and Josh Donaldson aren't going to be, maybe they will, but you can't expect them to be, you know, the greatest hitters in baseball, you know, for the rest of the season. You know, there's going to be ups and downs, and Batista coming back is going to be important. And, you know, I think the end of the first half of the season is more like what I expected from the Blue Jays all along than the start of the year was, when they really had trouble with the bullpen and they weren't scoring runs. And so I think the second half can be theirs. You know, I feel like a homer saying it, but if I look around the division and there are strong teams, and I think Boston is going to get better pitching. David Price is going to get better. Baltimore is good, but I would be worried about their rotation if I was them. And I think the Blue Jays are a better team than both of them. And I think that it's probably going to show up in the standings by the time things are all said and done.
Andrew, always great stuff, man. We'll keep reading. Go to BlueJaysNation.com to read it. Jays in Oakland to start the unofficial second half of the season tomorrow night. Appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Thanks very much.